Show.
The Mel Gedroych Podcast.
Hey, it's Mel G, and this week on the little podcast, we're going to be talking about space colonies, foxes, and letting your hair grow white gracefully. If you do like that, then have a listen to me every Saturday lunchtime from 1 on Magic. There will be more excellent chat and some fantastic songs thrown in for good measure. Oh, I can't stop clicking. I'm quite pleased with that clicking, Bush.
Your clicking has improved no end since you got involved in that musical, Mel.
Isn't it?
It's really good.
What company at the Gielgud Theatre in the West End?
That's the one, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Funny, isn't it? It's tight.
Do they start with clicking? Is that the first thing in, like, day one of rehearsals? Get the clicking right and everything else will fall into place.
I'd say jazz hands comes before clicking.
Jazz hands.
If you can do a tight jazz hands pulled in towards the waist or hip area, like that. I know that's not very good for radio, but I'm doing it now. Let's all do it. It's a beautiful thing to do on a Saturday. Get your hands tightly involved with the waist slash hip area.
Yep.
And then give it a bit of jazz.
As a razzmatazz.
No, you're flapping, Bush.
Too much?
Keep the hand very tightly in on the waist. And, yeah, I don't know what...
Showbiz.
I don't know what that looks like, Bush. It was almost like somebody in a trauma... having trouble up a mountainside or something.
This move reminds me of, you know, when you're trying to get past someone in a kitchen. Sorry, excuse me. Sorry, can I get past you there? A bit like that in a galley kitchen.
It's got to be tight. Feel the bicep and the tricep working. Feel the form of the forearm. I've turned, Bush. I don't know what's happened to me. I'm sorry.
You've gone full musical theatre, haven't you?
I'm musical theatre and I love it.
I was expecting you to come in with like a scarf around your neck, drinking Manuka honey to protect your voice and
that
all these things.
That will happen, mate.
Will it?
When the weather turns. No, quite seriously. You've
really
had to keep your throat warm. I've got some glasses on chains as well.
Oh, my words.
Heck yeah. Bush, it's so ruddy nice to see you.
It's lovely to see you. You're looking very well.
So are you, my love.
Thank you very much.
Considering your sleepless nights with the new baby, you're looking absolutely amazing.
Oh, God bless you. I was walking her around for 2 hours last night.
Oh.
At 9 o'clock in the evening, past people having beers outside pubs, just to try and get the little monkey to go to sleep.
It's like Midnight Express, isn't it?
It really is like Midnight Express.
Shuffling around. Were you shuffling or were you making full steps?
I was shuffling a bit, trying to make my footsteps and the journey last as long as possible. And I know that she only sleeps... This is how awkward she is. She'll only sleep on busy streets. So if I go down a quiet side road, she'll wake up because it's too quiet. So I have to go along A roads. Walk it down A roads.
But can't you, in a papoose, can't you just nip in for a swift pint?
Well, do you know what? I got chucked out of a bookies once with my eldest daughter, Erin. Right, I walked in to put a bet on an Everton game. Wasn't even thinking about it because she was in a papoose.
Why were you chucked out? Because you had a baby?
She said, you can't bring a child into a bookies. I'm not serving you. Even the old fellas in there were tutting at me.
But hang on. It's a baby in a papoose. It doesn't even know that it's in a bookies.
Totally. They say you cannot bring a child into a bookies, whatever. So they actually chucked me out of the bookies. How bad did I feel? I know.
Oh, Bush.
I know.
Listen, I know this is nothing quite as out... I know this isn't quite as hardcore as what you're going through, but we've had a problem with our young pup, the old 10-month-old rescue pup that we've got, Juno.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. She arrived sleeping through the night brilliantly. I thought, hallelujah, we've got a good'un.
Yeah.
Last two nights, she has been barking at 3 a.m. solidly, just...
She's been playing up. She started playing up.
Well, I think it's foxes in the garden, chum.
Well, she's definitely alerting you to something. There's something going on there. Dog behaviourally, there's something going on.
It's foxes in the garden. I looked out of the window with a right old Mardy mood on me, thinking, oh, for Pete's sake. And it was two really sort of luxuriously fat, bushy-tailed foxes.
Well, do you know what? I have heard of an amazing, slightly witchcraft-like way of getting rid of foxes in the
right,
back garden.
I want to find out. Let's have a bit of music and then tell me, please. I need help. Bush, listen, I am all agog. If you've just joined us, Bush has promised a cure for foxes in the garden that either wake you up just because they're foxes. Oh, they've got a horrible bark, haven't they?
The noises foxes make out the back, I don't even know what's going on.
There's a sort of dry... There's a kind of...
I always think it's someone in trouble on the street, and it turns out it's just foxes.
Yeah, and when they're in their kind of, you know, season... Exactly,
yep.
Thanks.
Yep. That's the official noise for it.
That was so well-timed, Bush. That was musical theatre, mate.
That is, we it was on Seven. Sync. We were on Seven.
You were so on Seven.
Thanks very much.
No, it's awful, isn't it, in that season? It's like, it's pain.
Yeah, you just think, if that's them having a moment, a lovely moment, then deary me.
I know.
Deary me.
Apparently, they have kind of spikes.
Yep. Yeah, the more you find out about foxes, I know, you just think, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
I know, there's a sort of an umbrella of spikes that occurs.
Terrible.
Awful. But what is your cunning trick, Bush? Please, I'm sleepless and I'm slightly at the end of my tether with these foxes.
Well, this is it. So your dog's waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, shouting at barking at these things or whatever. Yeah. I have heard on the grapevine that apparently, and I don't know how you get hold of this stuff, but apparently lion poo... it's supposed to get rid of foxes.
Right, OK. I've heard this.
Have you heard this?
Yeah. Is that not for cats?
I don't know. I think lion poo, I'm sure it's a fox thing, but how on earth someone has got to the situation where they've made the by chance discovery that, lion poo everywhere suddenly puts the foxes off.
Well, it's a bigger predator, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
It's a bigger predator, so that you're going to be scared of that. I wonder if I phoned London Zoo, maybe.
If you gave London Zoo a call, anyone listening to this show right now know anyone who works at London Zoo who can, like, sneak us out a few bags worth or whatever?
Or Whipsnade. Very happy to travel to Whipsnade.
Lovely zoo. Great zoo.
Beautiful zoo.
You could load the boot up there as well, because I think you can drive into that one.
Do you think they'd give it to you for free, or do you have to pay for it?
Well, I don't know. We'd be willing to make an offer. I'll chip in, because I'd be quite interested in the science of this to see if it works.
Bush, you have come up with something really magnificent.
Thank you very much.
And I thank you for it.
I hope it works.
As I say often on this show, you're not just a kind of, you know, a broadcasting fake faux friend.
No.
You're actually there for me in times of reality.
I have your back big time.
Oh, thanks, mate. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate.
This is magic that you're listening to. It's Saturday lunchtime. We're so delighted that you're with us. More great music coming up after this. I love those songs which you can pretend that you're in some sort of huge film.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And you're part of some massive dramatic story. Do you know what I mean?
Like in the middle of like a real whirlwind romance. Not the rubbish normal stuff that we all experience on a daily basis, but like proper hair blowing in the wind romance.
Oh, totally. Or you're on a horse.
Yeah, on a horse.
Riding across a massive landscape.
On a horse, massively in love. What a combination. What a combo.
I just drifted off during that that amazing tune.
Me too.
I think I was in a sort of desert scape.
Yeah.
And the wind was blowing, definitely, in the hair. A bit of sand in the eyes. It was a bit uncomfortable.
Sand in the eyes. I walked to the end of my farmstead in dungarees.
Did you?
Back in the American Wild West, and just looked out onto the vista. That's what I was doing.
Across your little wickety-pickety fence.
It's a bit personal, but yeah.
Oh, now that is a good sound. That can only mean one thing. It's the Ledger of Legend. This is where we take our book, which is real, I have it in my hand, and we celebrate something which is not usually celebrated in the way that it should be. Now, Bush, how do you feel this week about... just getting the pen ready.
Very
it's
deliberate.
All real. It's very real.
Lid removal of that pen, wasn't it?
I'm going to put today in... I think this is something that is really, really under-celebrated.
Yep.
I'm going to put in hair dye... and in brackets, semi-permanent.
Talk us through this, Mel. Where has this come from?
It is a ruddy lifesaver.
By semi-permanent, you mean like... I remember going around supermarkets and stuff with my mum, where she would be buying colours, and you get a little clipping of hair stuck to it. What your hair's going to look like at the end.
And it's in a special loop.
Yeah, and then she would go into the bathroom at home with a rubber thing and pull her hair through it with a hook.
Oh, did she?
And then put the stuff on the top.
Oh, what, she did her own highlights?
Yeah.
God, that's really advanced.
It's seeing that as a 9-year-old, your mum with her hair poking out through like rubber tubes. Very strange look. It's like Medusa. A bathroom Medusa.
I think hair dye is a lifesaver for men/women all over the country.
Really?
It makes us feel good, Bush. It makes us feel nice and young again.
Have you got it going on at the moment? Are you
Hell
wearing
yeah.
it? Have you?
Hell yeah.
What's your tone? What's it called?
Well, at the moment, I've gone for a saucy chestnut.
Saucy chestnut.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the official name on the packet.
You sound like a drag act. On at 10 p.m, saucy chestnut.
Or a saucy chestnut. No, I'm well into the old root coverage. It's a bit vain. And part of me thinks, look, I want to be like, what's her name? I adore her. Oh, the amazing singer. Oh, I can't remember her name. This is embarrassing.
Dolly Parton.
No, It'll come back. She has white hair, short white hair.
Annie Lennox.
No. Oh, it'll come back. It'll come back to me.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks just let it grow out. Be a Grady.
Oh, right. I see what you mean.
Be a grey lady.
Glenn Close or whatever. Glenn Close.
Glenn Close.
Yes.
I will do that one day, but not just yet.
Not quite yet.
I'm clinging on. Have you ever used hair dye, Bush?
I put sun in on my hair when I was a teenager. It looked so bad, man. Our PE teacher for the entire school career called me Tufty as a result, because I had blonde front of hair, dark back, looked really bad.
And it goes really, really dry.
Really dry,
really
brittle.
Really dry.
Awful.
If there was any naked flame near it, it would literally go up in a sheet.
I would have gone up like a Roman candle.
Oh, my goodness. Well, listen, hair dye, please.
Yes.
Are you agreeing with that, Bush? It's a thing that's unsung.
If it makes you feel better, do it.
Yeah, hair dye, please, Bush. And what Bushy does every week is draws it. We've run out of music. Good luck with that, Bush. Keep the atmosphere going, and we will hear you very much after this. Thanks, Morten.
Morten Harkit.
He really could rock a scarf, couldn't he, Morten?
Oh, he looks fantastic in anything. And I always wanted some of those leather wristbands that they all had in Aha.
Oh, yeah. Were they with poppers? Or with them?
Depends buckles. What nightclub you go to.
With buckles.
Oh, yeah, no, they had little clips and buckles and stuff. Yeah, I used to love them.
Yeah.
Good old Aha.
Yeah. I'd like to look at the way he wears a scarf because there's something particular that he does with it that's not like other people with scarves. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's a fine line. If you go for a cravat, then you look like you're a bit aristocracy. But
oh,
it certainly wasn't that.
No, it was more sort of cash. It's not a pashmina.
It's not a pashmina.
It's a sort of, but it is cloth, isn't it? It's not wool.
It's kind of a knockabout fun languages teacher from, say, Copenhagen.
Thank you very, very much, Bush.
That's what it is.
Always.
That's the look, isn't it?
You totally nailed the precision of that. That's very, very strong.
Thank you.
And you've also nailed our Ledger of Legend hair dye picture, semi-permanent in brackets. You've put saucy chestnut onto it. That's very, very strong.
Thank you.
Every week we do give it its Latin name, as you know. So what should we call it? Follicus bruniamus.
Yeah.
I think that's an absolute worthy contender for the Ledger of Ledge. Don't you?
Deb, put it in there. And I tell you what, if you've got a look, I love the fact that everyone's got a secret, secretly has got like a colour that they use. Yours is saucy chestnut.
Saucy chestnut.
Let us know what your colour is.
Yeah, what would yours be, Bush?
What would mine be? What do you think?
I think it might be, it might be grizzly bear.
I'd love to be grizzly bear. Again, go back to the nightclub that we mentioned earlier on.
You'd definitely see Morten Harkett with the poppers in there.
I certainly would do.
Now, time for more music now. This is your Saturday afternoon. It belongs to you.
Okay, podcast time.
Come on, let's do it.
Here's a question from the Tin Mail. Have you ever used that fancy water for filling up the iron?
Oh, now hang on. Is it ionised water?
Oh,
thank you.
See what we've done there.
Thanking you.
Science-based show, science-based gag.
What is the water? It's just very expensive.
I don't know.
Why? I know what it's for. It's so you don't get the weird brown sediment.
Yep.
In the bottom of your iron that comes out when you're doing your white jeans.
Absolutely, yeah.
Always.
Normally when you're in a rush, you need to iron something on the go. That's when that stuff appears.
In a word, no.
Me also, no.
It's Mel G here on Magic. Oh, the mighty Bush. Now, Bush, I must ask you, how's your week been?
Mel, thank you for asking. My week has been about science.
Interesting.
My 8-year-old daughter Erin told me this week that she wants to be a scientist.
That is marvellous.
That's cool,
news.
Isn't it?
That's brilliant.
Because we've been looking for that thing. She's one of those kids, she kind of likes a bit of everything, but she hasn't got like a real passion about one thing.
Yeah.
So I've been hoping that there's this thing that's going to come along and ignite a spark.
Yeah.
And a couple of weeks ago, we went up to Newcastle, because my partner Katie's from Northumberland.
Yeah.
And we spent the afternoon in the Centre for Life in Newcastle. Have you ever been there before?
No. What
is
it?
It's amazing. It's like this kind of interactive science exhibit.
Lots of buttons.
Lots of stuff. You remember when you were a kid and you go on school trips to things you can have a go on?
Yeah, brilliant.
Like hovering balls because of air or iron filings and magnetism and stuff like that.
And lots of sort of headphones.
Headphones and hearing.
Putting on the headphones. I love that.
Loads of optical illusions. But they've got this bit within it, which is a mock-up science lab, but for kids.
Oh, that sounds
and
brilliant.
Erin was in her element because she got to wear a white lab coat.
Of course she did.
A little goggles.
Yeah.
Like CSI primary school, pretty much. And then she did a science experiment. And
what
since
did she
then,
do? What did she
was dyeing wool with a pipette into different mixtures.
Oh, did she love it?
She absolutely loved it, and she's just been completely enthused about science since. And I just wanted to kind of, you know, look back on science when I was a kid. Let's be honest, it was quite boring, wasn't it? Remember science classes when you were a kid? It was all Bunsen burners and that iodine smell.
The only thing I remember about science as an early teen was Elizabeth Flynn nearly blowing herself up.
There was always one kid, yeah, wasn't it?
And she had to be taken out. She literally had to be taken out. She did something in the fume cupboard. I don't know what it was.
A danger to everyone.
Yeah. And it was an awful thing because... No, it was terrible.
It was mean-spirited.
It was mean-spirited because we all found it obviously quite amusing. It's terrible.
But that was what it was like. Bunsen burners. Everything was dangerous. Yeah. You can't touch anything. Everything's dangerous. Don't dissect that. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
And
do you remember,
it was awful.
I remember holding a tiny little copper envelope, like the size of a postage stamp.
Oh, yeah.
In a pair of tweezers and holding it over a Bunsen burner to see what would happen. I think copper oxide or something.
So it went a bit slightly more fiery
colour. It went a bit green.
A bit green, didn't it?
Yeah.
That was it. That was the pinnacle.
Yeah.
That's the best you could hope for.
Oh, hang on. Something brilliant happened.
Go on.
Our teacher, Miss Edgar, put a pair of nylon tights in sulfuric acid.
To prove what?
I can't remember.
How to dissolve your tights.
That was extraordinary. They sort of, it went very, very alien. It sort of, they started smoking. She took them off, obviously. No, I mean, she wasn't wearing them at the time. That would be very weird. It was
that'd
the 70s,
weird.
But it... she had a pet. I don't know what she was doing.
Our teacher, right? What about this for long-term trauma? She was inflating a pair of lungs, a pair of pig's lungs, to show the inflation of lungs and... And they exploded when all these kids were sat around the table watching. They were covered in like blood and guts. It was awful.
You're joking.
Honest to God, these lungs, she put too much air in them and they blew up.
Was she doing it with her mouth?
It was a machine. So the machine was gunning them up with air, like you're filling your tyres up in a petrol station, and it blew up and the kids around the front were just covered
spattered.
In literally bits of pig and blood.
Were there tears? Were there faintings?
They were horrified. I think one person fainted and then they had to call the class to end it early. It was terrible.
Listen, we need recovery time. That's a very, very, very violent image. Let's have some Commodores. We'll come back to this. Bush, we were talking about... Your elder daughter being interested in science, do we know what sort of science she might be going towards? Are we talking, I don't know, engineering? Are we talking nuclear science? Are we talking marine biology?
Well, I was quite encouraged at the Centre for Life in Newcastle that she got quite interested in just very basic science, which was just dyeing wool. Like, for me as a grown-up and a short concentration span, I'd be like... Dying wool, I could take it or leave it.
So she might go into the tannery business.
Maybe she's doing tannery. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Your daughter couldn't tan this, change the colour of this for us, could she?
Yeah.
Getting favours.
Just get her waist deep in a barrel
just
of
a stick, dye. Stirring stuff around in a tannery. Imagine that.
Oh, it always smells a bit. Have you ever... It's quite medieval, the smell coming off a tannery.
Is there really?
Yeah. We went to one in Morocco, my darling.
Oh, did you?
It was lovely to see, you know, the craftsmanship involved. But
was it just people stirring stuff?
It was incredible. We were advised to put sprigs of mint up our nostrils. We went round it with these massive kind of comedy bits of mint because it was very, very intense, the smell.
I might try
it. It's pig fat, isn't it?
Mint up the nostrils on the train home because of some of the smells I've been getting on the commute this week.
Actually,
so give it a go.
You need a nosegay, don't you? In modern day GB, you need a nosegay for certain occasions like the commute.
Do you remember that back in the times of plague in old London?
Not specifically. I'm not that old.
But you remember the doctors used to have like a beak full of potpourri? I'd love one of them for just the smells of daily life these days.
Thank you for beak, mate.
Beak
is a very, very good way of describing it. Listen, more great music coming up next. Ah, this is very strong. In fact, this ties in really, really well with the kind of science theme that we've had slightly running through the show this week.
Oh, yeah.
Here's your quezzy, Bushingtons. What should the first colony... on another planet be called? That is so good.
What a brilliant question.
What do you think?
I would like to call it New Brixham.
Because
I'm from Brixham in Devon. What about that? New Brixham.
I'm giving you a high five across the studio.
New Brixham.
So,
boom.
So, if you're a member of that colony, are you a New Brixhamite?
Yes.
Are you a Is that all right?
New Brixhamite. It's great.
New Brixhamite.
What about you? Of course, Leatherhead is where you hail from.
I was going to, of course, go Leatherhead. Oh. You read my mind, Bush. And I would say, what would you be if you were from that colony?
What about Little Leatherhead?
That sounds a bit parochial,
mate. A bit twee, doesn't it?
Sounds very twee. It sounds a little bit, you know, Nick Curtin-y.
Leatherheadopolis.
Oh, that's good. That's the capital.
Yeah, the absolute hub.
Yeah, and you are a Leatherheadite.
Yeah, you're going to get the 2125 space flight to Leatherheadopolis.
Oh, that's great.
Leatherhead Spaceport.
Yeah.
That would be so good.
Oh, that's very strong.
It's very Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
New Brixham.
New Brixham. Sounds like a rough moon base colony, New Brixham.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like a where people are made to go and like harvest moon dust.
With nets.
With nets, go and drag as much new moon dust as they can.
And you'd have that sort of trailer voice, you know, that kind of New Brixham, but it would be with the Devonian.
Yeah.
Come to New Brixham.
I do's it for a tenner. Arca-E, Arcan-I.
I love it. We've got it. We've got two colonies. Two colonies for one.
Isaac Asimov, consider it done.
Good. Thank you so much for listening to our delightful podcast. Hear more knockabout ballpark fun like that every Saturday lunchtime from 1 on Magic.
The Mel Gedroych Show. The Mel Gedroych Podcast.